So let's talk about magical timing.
Sure. I was trying to think of something witty to come back at you with, but I had nothing.
Mm-hmm. Similar to magical liming.
No.
It's when you cut a lime and it's just like perfect and it's delicious.
You got nothing there, sweetie.
No, there's nothing. I'm reaching for the stars.
You are.
There. But I do want to talk about magical timing.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, you and I just went on a little Christmas trip to Italy.
We did.
And we had an amazing
Why did we come
time.
Back? I don't know.
Right. Italy is beautiful. Would love
There's
to stay.
There's national parks there.
There are. And so many beautiful places
and
to go to.
Maybe a little less fascism.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
I mean, they've had their fair share too. But we landed on Christmas Day.
We did.
We did get to see the new Pope say his Christmas address.
Yeah.
Which was not something on my bingo card that I thought I'd be doing this year.
No.
That I would be in Rome on that day.
I mean, he was like literally 30 feet from us in the Pope Mobile.
Easily.
Which was like, this is wild.
This is wild.
Yeah.
I mean, we weren't going to Rome or Italy to make like a pilgrimage to the Vatican.
But it was a Jubilee year.
But it was a Jubilee year. And we got to go during Christmas and get to see this moment. And so like, there was some magical timing there.
Oh, absolutely.
And so that was a recent example of magical timing. But like, sometimes have encountered some magical timing in national parks, and it's been really lovely. Like, for instance, when we went to Congaree National Park, it was spider season.
It was. How magical for the both of us.
It was. Mm-hmm. You did run right into a spider web, though.
I did.
And then we immediately left after mm-hmm. that.
And that's when I got my powers.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. Because you're a spider girl now.
I am a spider girl. Yep. With great power comes great responsibility.
That's right. Let's talk about the dark sky timing that we had in Black Canyon of the Gunnison in Colorado.
Terrible.
That was. We got to see a full moon, but no stars.
No.
Because of moonlight.
Because of moonlight. Because just like Leanne Rimes has taught us, you can't fight
it. You can't fight the moonlight. That is true. Especially, you know, deep in the dark, you just have to surrender your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know.
Mm-hmm. Because you know.
Uh-huh. There is something, sometimes magical timing works out.
It does.
And we have had plenty of moments where it really does.
Like when we got to see Old Faithful erupt twice.
Right.
We got there and we had to wait, much to my dismay. But then we also walked around the basin, the geyser basin, and by the time we got back, we had a great second showing.
Erupting again.
Yep.
Right. Or like when we went to California to do national parks and we ended up with a bonus day because of
mistaken
when our
flight times.
Flight mm-hmm. was leaving and we ended up having basically a whole other day and we got to go to Channel Islands.
Yeah.
And there happened to be tickets on that boat to Channel Islands, which they're most of those, I'm sure, are sold out now. But that was magical timing. Obviously, a lot of foresight helps and a lot of planning helps.
Being on the same flight as Mr. T.
That was magical timing. Y'all, we were on the same flight as literally mm-hmm. Mr. T.
Yeah.
And when I tell you, he was the most generous person because there were a line of about 25 people. They made a line at the gate in the airport just to like
sign his autograph or get his autograph.
Yeah, sign his autograph. Yeah. Right. To get a photo with him. And he sat there and took a photo with every single person. And he said, you know, somebody was like, you're so generous. And he's like, this is what I do. This is what it is. This is what people want. I'm going to give them what they want because all of you gave me, you know, the career that I have. That was pretty cool, magical timing.
Yeah. Meeting Billy Eichner.
That is true. Well, I guess he did happen right upon us. And
he did happen upon some of us.
In Provincetown. We did run into him at tea. I mean, shout out to Billy Eichner, mm-hmm. who we know for a fact listens to our show.
It's true.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park.
Are you a fire there?
at the national park. At the national park. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while visiting and hiking the land, also known as Pinnacles National Park, that we are on the traditional and stolen land of the Popolauchum, Shalone, and Ohlone people.
So it is still our first day in Pinnacles National Park.
It sure is.
We had an incredible time earlier on this day, because while Pinnacles National Park is not the largest national park, there's a lot of spots that we've hit just in this first day.
Yeah, you could probably do like a full trip to Pinnacles in 2 to 3 days. Like
easily,
and enjoy the, like, enjoy most, if not everything it has to offer.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Easily. Even if you only had one, you could probably
see most of it. Yep.
A lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
We had 2 full days in Pinnacles. We did everything to make the most of it. So in our previous episodes on this day, you will hear us. We explored the Bear Gulch Caves. Then we made it up the High Peaks Trail. Now we are at the upper section of the High Peaks Trail and we're parked.
That's right.
And we're
pulled
sitting.
Over for a little bit.
And why are we sitting?
Because we are waiting to see what time the condors will show up.
We are.
Because we're hoping we'll see them.
California condors are the largest bird in North America. This is one of the spots where they live. Now, Mike, when we're up this high, what are some things we're looking for in the distance in the rocks that sort of like help us to know like where we might spot a condor?
We're looking for poop stains.
We're looking for poop stains.
Yeah.
And what do those look like way up high?
White.
They do. They look like white drippings.
Drippy.
Like on,
like
it looks
cliff
like,
face. Yeah.
Like a cliff face, and it looks like icicles suddenly, like, but it really, it's condor poop.
Yep.
It's the same way you see other bird poop, but it's condor poop.
Because it's a roosting spot for them. So they're hanging out on that like little ledge up there. They do not make nests. They roost.
Their eggs just hang out.
Mm-hmm. And seems dangerous to me, but
yeah, well,
listen,
I mean,
evolution.
Condors literally live on the edge.
They do.
So it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. It's and like that Aerosmith song, Come to Life.
Just like that. And just like that.
And you know that I'm just the biggest Aerosmith fan.
The biggest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your love for
Love in an Elevator,
Steven Tyler, is
profound.
What led you to love Lord of the Rings because of Liv Tyler.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it all tracks.
She has her own album of elvish songs.
She does.
Mm-hmm. And I listen nightly before I go to bed.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
The title track is called like, I don't want to miss a
ring.
Ring. That's it. Exactly.
Man, you really struggled to get there.
Well,
you're slipping.
Mm-hmm. I really love the person who will hear this and be like, does Liv Tyler have like an elfish album?
Mm-hmm.
With the song, I Don't Want to Miss a Ring.
Mm-hmm.
In the other universe we're creating.
Mm-hmm.
She does.
Mm-hmm.
She does. But we are sitting here and we're waiting to see if we might see some condors. Now, the thing about condors are that they are very much endangered, but not because the population was huge and is now small. It's because they were almost extinct. And then through a rehabilitation program, they've been able to increase the population again. So if you see a California condor, they're going to have tags on their wings with numbers.
And a specific color too.
That is for tracking purposes. And so that they can bring them in when they need to rehabilitate them if they need to. And also like work with the young and make sure that they are able to track them and everything like that. And the other thing that's great is that you can find out information about
it's so cool.
These condors and about their behavior and things like that, which we will tell you a little bit about at the end of this episode. So we are sitting here. Becky is a little bit nervous that we're not going to see any condors, which she was hoping would happen. So we're sitting there. There's other people around. As we are sitting there, it was like the clouds parted and suddenly, like in a moment of like the highest sort of natural drama we've ever seen, 2 condors just like emerge at the top of these 2 different pinnacles across from each other. It was like they were showing up for the 12:15 show.
Mm-hmm.
Truly.
Yeah.
One was sort of like turned profile, so you could see like the wing. And then the other one was facing right toward us. This was an unbelievable, spectacular thing to witness and experience. Let's just first start with your reaction to this moment.
Well, I think it was Cynthia that spotted them. And then I looked over and saw, or spotted the one, and I feel like I looked over and spotted the other. It was very exciting because I think there was like a real fear that there wasn't going to be any sort of opportunity to see them. Because it's not a guarantee. It's like a very fickle sort of possibility. And I remember saying to Becky, I'm like, let's just sit here for as long as we need to for her. Because I think you would have been like still fine with the fact that the park was really great, but like that was something you wanted to like really see. And so they definitely are imposing for sure when you see them. And, you know, we're not really seeing them close up. These were pretty visible with just the naked eye because we were right below these pinnacles, even though they were pretty high up where they actually had kind of landed or where they were roosting. But for the most part, the best way to spot them is with like a very long-range camera lens or your binoculars. And we were fortunate enough to have two sets of binoculars, so we were able to kind of share and get a sense of them and what they look like up close, because you're not, the possibility of really getting that close to them is not real.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, they're not going to come mm-mm. hang out near you.
No.
I totally agree. I mean, it was like having the cameras that we had and having the binoculars, huge help. You know, we were able to really get like a close-up view of them.
Yeah.
You know, like, and the smartphone cameras are amazing. They're less amazing for birds and up close, though there were plenty of photos I got with my smartphone of them. But it was so special because they were so enormous. And they sat there for about 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah. We just like, we gawked for that long. And other people then started to realize what was happening and started to kind of, there was a guy with a giant like telephoto lens.
Oh yeah.
That was there taking photos.
Toward the end of that 20 minutes, I'd say there was maybe like 20 or 30 more people around, like sort of looking up and taking it in. It was such a special moment. It was one of those, you know, magical timing things.
Yeah.
Where, you know, there's a world absolutely where we would have
missed them completely.
Missed them or not seen them or maybe saw one really far in the distance. To sit here and have them appear like virtually just right above where we were sitting.
Yeah.
And just hang out there for 20 minutes. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We'll never get a moment like that.
No.
Not with two, not just one. Two condors who just were like ready to just chill out and hang out.
Yeah, I think in probably what would be like one of the closest ranges too, that you could probably see them.
Yeah,
because we would see more, but yes, not this yes, close.
Yes, foreshadowing.
Yeah,
we would see more.
We would,
but yeah. And that would have been super satisfying had that been the only time.
Yeah,
but this was an unbelievable moment. And so, I mean, this was like a trip made immediately. I mean, trip would have been the best, most beautiful, wonderful time. And I, no regrets and no FOMO. But this was definitely the added bonus.
Absolutely.
So what happened at the end of the 20 minutes?
They concluded their gawking show by literally taking flight over the top of us. Like, I had a really cool moment of like trying to get their photo. I mean, they were still pretty high up, but they swooped down a little bit and then flew out like over the open valley that was basically the opposite direction of the pinnacles that we were gazing up at. And it was this like moment of dramatic flight, which was really cool.
Their feet are huge.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they look like, as you've said, a thrice divorced woman.
They do. They do.
Like with their mink.
Oh, they fully look like a thrice divorced. That's one of those birds, right? There's a meme that comes around about once every 6 months that's like, I'm really into birds that look like twice divorced women. And I can always tell it's coming because suddenly everybody starts to send it to me because it's like suddenly they're seeing it for the first time. But they actually do. They are one of the birds that do. And they look, they're amazing. Yeah. That was the most dramatic ending. It was like, you know, I can only compare it to like, you know, when they do animal shows with animals in captivity, which is so sad. But you know what I mean? Like when they have like birds or parrots that fly over the top, you know, or something like that. Like it was like that, but in real life. And that was so much better than anything anyone could have ever crafted or curated. And with that, let's take our first break. Hey, y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right. It's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season one is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails! All right, we're playing Rhyme Time. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
Truly.
Since we played Rhyme Time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've each come up with two.
Yep.
Okay, great. Get us started.
All right, so this is a 60-minute period of time in which you are frightened, potentially crawl under your bed.
What is my... I'm going to go home and I'm going to take my cower hour.
That's correct. It's a cower hour.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So mine are both bird related.
Oh, okay, great.
This is a really cute, adorable, iridescent, invasive bird.
What's a darling starling?
There you go.
Okay. And then my other one is, this is, if you wanted to, this would be a space that you could go to if you needed to add air into your tires. A mechanical space, I'll say. It doesn't have to be mechanical.
Is pump one of the words?
Mm-mm.
A space you can... A garage?
Mm-mm. But a garage adjacent.
Shop?
Nope. But you're getting there. You could also...
Inflate? Inflation? Mm-hmm. Inflate?
You were right with the first one.
Inflate?
Nope.
The inflation?
Other one. Yeah.
An inflation station.
That's correct.
Great. Mm. Well, that's where you go all the time for your ego purposes.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to do it.
That's right. And finally, a beautiful waterfowl that wants to talk to the manager.
Karen Heron.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. And that's Rhyme Time.
We enjoyed our moment with the condors. So we enjoyed our moment with the condors.
We sure did.
So we enjoyed our moment with the condors. And then it was time to continue because we needed to continue on the trail. We were literally at the highest point here.
Yeah.
Now,
we had to get back to the parking lot, essentially.
We did eventually because all of the stuff we had wanted to do on this day, we had now done it.
Achieved, yes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Condors.
Condors, who gave us the 12:15 show. But we needed to get back to the parking lot. Now, we could have gone back the way we came, but some context about trails in Pinnacles is that Pinnacles is not the largest national park.
No.
It's pretty small comparative to others. The trail system in Pinnacles is basically one big circle, and then there are some trails that go through the middle of that circle. And so we're on one of those trails that's going through the middle of that circle right now, the High Peaks Trail. The thing about the trails and Pinnacles, especially these, even the parts that look like the longest stretches aren't that long.
No.
When you look at the trail map for Pinnacles, the longest stretch is 2 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Every other stretch, short.
Yeah.
All of them have been short. So
you can cobble them together very easily too, which is nice.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that's sort of what we were doing here. So we are currently on the High Peaks Trail,
mm-hmm.
and we're on the upper section.
Yep.
And so we had walked up the lower section before. We sat at the intersection of the low section and the upper section at a place called Scouts Peak, and we got some lunch. From here, we walked out to where we wanted to sit and look at condors. So we are currently in the upper section. These high peaks are the pinnacles that the park gets its name from.
This is a definitely like more challenging part of the trail system that we'd been on for the day, but it's also fun. It's kind of like activating that adult jungle gym part of me where I'm like, oh, I have to use my brain now. There's like sort of semi-bouldering happening. There's some scrambly stuff. And this upper section, we're weaving in and out of pinnacles, and the views to the right are this sweeping kind of valley view that has other rock formations that are much lower. There's shades of green, there's trees, there's pieces of pinnacles that cascade down. There's a lot to see off to the right. And the trail, for the most part, is spacious enough for a few people. Generally speaking, it's not all that tight where we're at right now.
Until we get to another section of stairs. Mm-hmm. Now, we did a section of stairs on this trail.
On the way up here.
On the way up. And we're not going back the way we came. We're going to keep going and make essentially a loop.
Yeah. And I would say that, like, honestly, between the stairs, this run of relatively flat trail...
Relatively
short. It's not a very long section between these two sets of trails. We sort of plopped in the middle, had our little viewing space, and then continued on.
So the distance actually from basically one set of stairs to the other, 0.6.
Okay.
Yeah, really
about
not
a half mile.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm sorry, 0.7. Really not far.
Okay, yeah. This different set of stairs was similar to the natural stairs that we had come up previously.
It's true.
They are not as long, but they are much of a tighter squeeze. And also to the right, there's more of a drop.
Yeah, that is true.
Than there was on the stairs on the way up.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And this drop, it's not like you're dropping like hundreds of feet, but there's
other stairs below you. Like, because you kind of wind back. Mm-hmm. You go out and come back. It's like a little bit of a switchback situation.
These are steps that have been like blasted into mm-hmm. the boulder here
mm-hmm.
so that you can actually like have some place to put your feet.
Yeah, that's flat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we each go down one at a time. And we can, you know, kind of use the railing that's here for support. As someone who's not height fearful, who I don't have a major fear of heights unless it's Morro Rock for some reason and Sequoia, but this didn't feel too bad. You're definitely a little cramped. I feel like we had to duck a little bit at a certain point because the rock above us was a little low. So for tall people, might not be your most favorite part because you do feel a little squished is what I'll say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The stairs are, it's a little wild here because there are definitely like holds for your feet that sort of alternate up.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah, they're not level. They're like a, it's like a hand. It's like kind of like, as Dusty was saying, like holds, they're like, they alternate like the whole way. So like your right foot might be lower than where your left foot is. And then your left foot becomes lower than your right. Yeah.
The thing about this set of stairs here is, and I say stairs, but they're really just like notches in a stone. I would venture to guess that it would be a little easier to go up these. Going down these was like, okay.
Well, because eventually you wind, so you're under this like undercroft, and then you turn because it kind of becomes a switchback here. It's steeper on that turn.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually you're not under the rock anymore. You're coming further down on a pretty sharp grade. And then it feels like I should turn around here and this should be a ladder. Like, I shouldn't be going down. I remember, I think I did go down forward, and I felt, oh, this does not feel comfortable. I wish I had paused at the crest and turned my body and used the foot holds as also hand holds as I was going down.
Totally.
Because,
I mean, that would have been...
The smarter thing.
A very smart thing to do. But, you know, we did what we could. We made our way down. I also went forward, too, and it was what it was. we had to just deal with it. There's also one spot in this area with the stairs where it's a little bit tight. Like we had to literally like lean to the right as we were like walking around a boulder. But there were railings there and everything was fine.
So we get to the bottom and we continue on the trail. So shortly after this, we see a junction with the tunnel trail. So this trail, along with the upper section of the Juniper Canyon Trail, travels on the backside of the Pinnacles, and the High Peaks Trail travels across the front. We would end up coming up that trail the following day. That was part of our plan for day two here.
And you will hear about that in the next episode.
From the spot where we got lunch in the previous episode at Scout's Peak, which is the spot with the bathroom, we've gone only about, like Dusty was saying, 0.7 of a mile to this juncture.
So from here, we continue on what is still considered the High Peaks Trail for another 0.6 of a mile. So during this, we're still getting stunning views. We were talking a lot about how the aesthetic of this park reminded us a lot of the Flintstones, which I never thought I would say, but it did, only because like a lot of the rocks are like brown and it's rounded.
Yeah, they're very rounded.
It feels like bedrock. Very bedrock. Uh-huh. Like bedrock is in where the Flintstones lift.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Lift.
It feels very much
where they
like
lift.
That's right, where they lift.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of times those round rocks are clumped together. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just kind of feels like that.
Well, and the condors just feel like pterodactyls. Pterodactyls.
Pterodactyls. Yep. Starring Michelle Pfeiffer.
That's right. We are continuing to just get these really stunning views the more we are working our way down. And we pretty quickly come to this flat section that is very open. And it almost feels like a flat peak that's at the top of a range, even though there aren't really mountains here. But it is flat and elevated in the air. It's like almost like a plateau that we've come to, essentially. And this brings us to our next junction. And this is the other end of the High Peaks Trail. So we have some choices here. We can either go down Condor Gulch Trail, or we can go down the Blue Oak Trail.
And with that, let's take our next break. Can I get some spooky sounds from you? Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Seance Knowles Carter. Okay, thank you.
You asked, I delivered.
Seance Knowles Carter.
Seance Knowles Carter.
There you go.
Except I really went sort of like Scottish
you
there.
You gave a little bit of an Irish R to
a little Carter.
Carter.
I feel like it should be Seance Knows. Like she knows. Instead of like K-N-O-W-S. Like
Seance Knows Carter.
She knows Carter.
Well, that's why they're having the seance.
Yeah, that's right.
Summon Carter. Carter is dead. I love the lore we're building.
Uh-huh.
So Seance is the only person who can talk to Carter, mm-hmm. because Seance
she
knows Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Took her name mm-hmm. from that because mm-hmm. Carter. So Carter died. Decided to become a seance person.
A seance person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Where does the Beyonce element come into the performance?
I mean, I do feel like in order to like open sacred space for the seance to happen, like you have to play some Beyonce. Like,
okay.
Like I feel like that is like, I feel like her lip syncs are all Beyonce, but I do want her to be creative and perhaps a little spooky and spiritual. Like,
well, I'm curious if it's like, if the show feels like a Beyonce impersonator drag queen, but it's like Beyonce but it's like a dead ghoulish version of Beyonce.
Mm, okay.
Seance.
That has
been resurrected or seanced up. Well, mm-hmm.
Seanced up.
Seance means just connecting or speaking with.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, I mean, that's what happens at all of your seances that you invite mm-hmm, me to all mm-hmm, the time. Mm-hmm. That's what you do on Thursdays.
Yeah, that's it. My Thursday evening seance. Mm-hmm. Potluck and seance.
The energy is just better on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's so thirsty, just like the ghosts. I kind of love the idea of single ladies, but it's about like, I don't know, like people who are dead. I don't mm-hmm, know. I'm mm-hmm. kind of into this.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I think we could do better. There has to be some other songs.
Come on, ghouls, let's get information.
Come on, ghouls, let's get information.
Who runs the world?
Ghouls. Who runs this mother? Woo!
But it's countdown, but it's to death.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
No, I like this.
I feel like you could also do something fun with telephone with Beyonce and Lady Gaga.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that feels very seancey because you're trying to connect
with somebody. Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Baby.
I can't hear a thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm sick and tired of the phone ringing. I don't know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's something mm-hmm. to do there.
Yeah.
That sounds really fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the music is obviously Beyonce music.
Yeah.
But in a ghoulish death way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in a ghostly way.
Mm-hmm. And I do feel like she has her merch is like, I've cut out with like a die cut letters on a Ouija board and made them into necklace pieces for you to wear. So it's like, oh, I got the A from the Ouija board because my name's Ashlyn.
And oh,
that's what I got from the Seance Knowles performance,
see.
You know?
Does she...
She also sells voodoo kits.
Actually try to connect, or is it just like a joke about...
No, I think she's also like a medium. I think she has to be a drag medium.
I see. Mm-hmm. So she is a drag medium, and her show is a seance.
With Beyonce music.
With Beyonce
like,
music.
Like parodied Beyonce
and
music.
And are they... Parodied.
Parodied.
No, parodied means like it's a parody, but the genre is prairie.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm curious. Well, who is she trying to contact? That's what I'm wondering. Is it like, I don't know, divas?
Divas that are no longer
are
with
no
us?
Are no longer with us?
It's possible.
Okay.
Deceased divas?
I don't know. Maybe mm-hmm. so.
Seance Knows Carter. Seance. Oh my God, can't talk. Seance Knows Carter and the deceased divas.
And the deceased divas.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the deceased divas are her like
backup singers.
Backup girl group,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's Kelly and Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
The deceased divas.
Oh.
Oh my God. They're not deceased, mm-hmm. but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they do. Maybe that's part of it. It's like you don't know who is going to get summoned.
Yeah.
And like it's part of the show. And they're like, oh, they summoned Aretha. They summoned.
And then their music takes on the quality of
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. And then they end up doing numbers from with all that music.
Mm-hmm.
God, I love this. Now mm-hmm. I want to go see Seance Knows Carter.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Okay. Well, great. Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to the stage.
The ghoulish, the ghostly.
Seance Knows Carter.
We end up picking the Condor Gulch Trail of the two options.
Yes.
There was also the Blue Oak Trail option, which, foreshadowing, we may get to in the next day.
We may.
We choose the Condor Gulch Trail. Now, a lot of people, it seems, typically choose this trail to go up, but we were choosing it to go down.
Well, because it's essentially at the... parking, the trailhead is at the parking lot area where we parked earlier that day, which is like the nature center parking.
So a lot of people just see it and say like, okay, I'll go up this way.
Right. It's an easy access way for me to get up to the pinnacles, though. Why you would want to skip the Bear Gulch Caves,
I don't know, escapes me
because they're very cool and correct. It's worth it to go through them for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And so we start to make our way down, and the thing that I noticed immediately was the pitch of this decline is pretty significant.
Yeah.
I immediately am like, whew, I'm really glad we're not going up this.
It was fairly like rocky on the way down too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it was like on the feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
This trail kind of goes right through all of that stuff we were watching cascade downward, right? The trees and the other rock formations and all that stuff. It's down and in and among all of that. That we saw from up high at high peaks. So now we're inside of all of that. So I get why people want to do this because it's like, it cuts through like all of this fun stuff.
Fun's a relative term.
Fun is the relative term, but all of this stuff, but it does so at a, at an angle. The angle is real.
Yeah.
Is
oh,
what
yeah.
I'll say.
Yeah. It's definitely a little bit of a, it's not a straight shot down, obviously. It is a little windy and like you're kind of, essentially you're following one side of the gulch most of the time down. A lot of people passing us to go up, which again, at this point in the day, we've been hiking since very early. We're tired. And the idea of summoning the energy to go up this, which is a definite amount of energy that you would need, was beyond me. I was so like, no, I'm good. Thanks. This was great.
This entire leg here from the beginning of the Condor Gulch Trail where it intersects with High Peaks all the way down to the parking lot where you can park at Bear Gulch is 1.7 miles. So it's not the longest trail in the world. Again, these are short burst of trails here, but it's a lot of steep stuff. Not too long after we start, about a half a mile down, we get to this very significant famous viewpoint. It's a place that a lot of people hike up to.
And then turn around because you can get a very good view of the Pinnacles from here.
Yes. The viewpoint's stunning. So you're basically up underneath the High Peaks here and you're getting like the perfect view looking up at them. Like you're really up close now, like way closer than you were at the parking lot. This is why people do this one. And so we stood here for a minute, took photos and, you know, gazed at the Pinnacles and took some time here.
After a little bit of time, we continue making our way down. And it is like a parade of people coming up past
yeah.
us. It's clear that there's a bus that must have let off a group of people because they are not very prepared for this hike up. Some people are in like not great footwear. They have just water bottles. They're clearly not in for a long haul hike. Or if they are, they're going to probably be pretty sore about their lack of preparedness as they get further and further up.
Oh, without a doubt. As we are walking down, like we're making good time because again, the
decline.
Angle
yeah.
is serious and it's decline. But again, I'm like, I would not have wanted to go up this. This is too steep for like comfort at this point, because definitely because of how tired we were. But also because we had done the lower section of High Peaks, that was a pretty gradual incline. That was like a really lovely gradual incline to get up. And then this is more direct, going straight up in the middle of the incline.
Yeah, this was like a very straight shot up to the peaks, whereas everything we'd done earlier was a little bit more circuitous and a little bit more like, yeah, there's scenery here, but it's not as exciting as, again, going through the caves, going past the reservoir, doing all of the hiking that we did to get up to High Peaks on the other side.
And then from everything from the viewpoint down feels very canopy. It gets very green. This is really beautiful and really full of canopy.
And eventually we start to see like that we are getting closer to a roadway, but it's not the main road. Because we're still elevated, pretty high above it. But we can see down. It looks like there's people walking along it. I think it was the road to a camp that wasn't open as of yet, like another campsite. And we continue to kind of meander down. And this, it starts to feel here that we're starting to level off a little bit. It's not, the decline isn't as sharp. And we end up in these kind of rolling green hills
yeah.
that have trees that are sparsely not as canopied as we had just experienced. And the weird thing about these trees is it looks like they are Swiss cheese. There are so many holes in these trees. It was a very fascinating thing. And Cynthia is telling us about this acorn woodpecker. And she's like, I read about this. I was hoping that we'd at least see the actual burrowing holes and maybe we'll catch a woodpecker. But these acorn woodpeckers bore holes in tree bark and then put their acorns and they like store food inside those holes. And then I guess just kind of, it's like a shell game. They move them around from here
all
to
day. Uh-huh. All day. They just move acorns around in two different holes all day long. Someone who is trypophobic would not like this.
No.
Sarah Paulson can't do this hike Mm-mm. because she has trypophobia,
mm-hmm.
which is the fear of
tiny holes
bunched together.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, is
she hates that Shia LaBeouf movie Holes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't like sponges
Mm-mm.
and or coral.
Yeah.
All these trees have this. I mean, and they're pretty consistent as far as like the space away from each other. Cause it's not like you're looking at a tree with like, you know, dozens of holes in it. It's like hundreds of holes in a tree bark. A tree bark covered in holes with like maybe a half an inch or less, a quarter of an inch between the hole. And so they just go to town and they put holes all in these tree barks. And we did catch one of them. We did see one of them and I got some good photos of it. And that was very exciting.
Eventually, this leads us to some more decline, but it's at this point, we're getting very close to the base and to the trailhead here. And so a little while longer, and we end up in what is a parking lot that is thronged with people and cars.
Oh my God, it was that, so full.
That has... Yeah. There is a bathroom here. So if you are someone that, you know, this is like an actual restroom, it's not a pit toilet. So these are here and available. That was also jammed. But we took a minute, took a beat here at the bottom. There was a bench. We sat and let everybody do what they needed to do for the restroom. And then just made our way kind of like back to the car, which we were glad we were there so early because we had a great spot. Undid our packs, took our shoes off, took our boots off and put on sneakers and just made our way back to the campsite to relax for the rest of the night.
All right, let's put the upper section of the High Peaks Trail on the Karen Stone scale.
Great. So upper section of High Peaks, I would say, is pretty manageable. Other than the stairs, I'm going to give it a 4. Like, I don't think it's like anything that's crazy. There's a lot of descent in this. It's just like the only thing to watch out for is just your footing on those stairs. So it didn't feel as treacherous to me. So a 4 seems good.
I'm going to give it a 5 because of the stairs, but basically exactly the same reason. Pretty flat other than those stairs. Okay, then, so 9 out of 20 Karen Stones.
And now let's end this episode like we end all of our long format episodes with some Jeopardy-style trivia.
All right, Mike, why don't you get us started?
Great. Since we saw condors, and the word con is in condors, this category of Jeopardy-style trivia is all about movies with con people in them.
Oh, okay, great.
Great. So that was my jumping off point.
I'm ready.
So for 100, this movie features a teenage con man with machinations of grandeur who is eventually undone by a check forging scheme. Outrun by a G-man, played by Tom Hanks, the lead in Leonardo DiCaprio eventually ends up working under Hanks.
What is Catch Me If You Can?
That's correct. For 200. Robert Preston is a master con man in this musical about a traveling salesman selling marching band programs to local towns and then absconding with the money. You got trouble right here in River City, that's for sure.
What is The Music Man?
Yeah. Tell me how you feel about that.
I think I already did.
Yeah.
Not my favorite show.
Great. For 300. This longtime con caper, originally a Rat Pack film, was revived in the early aughts in what became a trilogy about a series of thieves trying to rob the Bellagio Hotel in Las Vegas, while also winning back the leading man's ex-wife in Julia Roberts.
What is Ocean's 11?
That's correct. For 400, this foreign film about a family conning their way out of poverty by assuming identities and infiltrating the home of their wealthy hosts as tutors, cooks, and lovers went on to win the Academy Award for Best Picture weeks before the world shut down.
What is one of the best movies of all time? Parasite.
Mm-hmm. And for 500, this mother-daughter comedy about seducing and marrying wealthy men, causing them to cheat, and then divorcing them to make off with their money pairs Jennifer Love Hewitt and Sigourney Weaver together.
I'm sorry. I spoke too soon about Parasite. This is one of the best movies ever, and that is what is Heartbreakers.
And that's correct.
Oh my God. Have we never sat and watched Heartbreakers
I've never
together?
Seen it.
What a gift you have waiting for mm-hmm. you. Oh my God, we need to watch that and we need to watch The Banger Sisters.
The Banger Sisters.
It's Sigourney Weaver.
I know who it is.
Just playing like a beautiful, like...
Seductress.
Mm-hmm. Who just... They both like con men and then they're like... They're in a competition too. Like, I mean, but they're also working together. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing. Are you ready for my category?
I am ready for your category.
Okay, so since we encountered two sets of steps on either end of the High Peaks Trail, this is a category all about famous sets of steps.
Great.
For 100, this iconic location is featured in the movie that invented the athletic training montage as Rocky ascends these famous steps of this building in Philadelphia.
What is the Philadelphia Museum of Art?
That is
Philadelphia.
Correct. Philadelphia. And you know that because?
Because I used to work there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Mike used to give tours.
I did not give tours.
I know you didn't. You worked in a different area, but in my imagination of your work there, you gave tours.
Mm-hmm.
You were a tour
Mike
guide.
Used to be the lead curator of the museum.
I didn't say that.
He was Anne Dinacourt herself.
For 200.
And if you lived in Philadelphia, you'd know who that is.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
For 200. Mm-hmm. Featuring 135 steps and three terraces. These steps, designed by Francesco De Sanctis in the Baroque tradition, and are located in the Piazza di Spagna in Rome, and are more commonly known as this.
What are the Spanish steps?
That is correct. For 300, in 2019, Joaquin Phoenix made a set of stairs famous in his film The Joker. Having them often referred to now as the Joker Steps, they are located on West 167th Street in this borough of New York City.
What is the Bronx?
That is correct. Good job. Right. For 400. The 16th Avenue Tile Steps, also known as the Moraga Steps, are sometimes considered the world's largest mosaic staircase and are located in Golden Gate Heights in this California city.
With San Francisco.
That is correct. And finally, for 500, the Loreto Chapel Staircase, also sometimes called the Miraculous Stair, is a helix-shaped spiral staircase that is built without a center beam and is shrouded in mystery since its construction. The legend goes that when the chapel was complete, the nuns had no way to get to the choir loft because it was 20 feet in the air. But shortly after, a mysterious carpenter showed up and built them stairs that, according to lore, defies physics because there's no center beam. It even has an Unsolved Mysteries episode about it. And it is located in this non-capital Southwestern city.
That was such a long-winded clue.
I know.
That's what is El Paso?
Great guess. It is not El Paso. What is Santa Fe?
I was going to say Santa Fe.
Well.
And I didn't.
Wait, no, there's more here. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
So the nuns in the lore say, like, this mysterious man showed up and built them these stairs. And when you see photos of it, there is no center. It's literally like these stairs just spiral up. They're like, how is this? Where's the support coming from since there's no center beam? They all theorize that St. Joseph appeared and built them stairs because he was a carpenter. But what science has proven is that actually they're called stringers. It's the like L-shaped piece of wood that you use, right? You can also build them that curve. And the one side is just so dramatically curved that it acts like a center beam.
Oh, I'm looking at photos now. It's beautiful. Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Justin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.